Welcome to Now Church. But so glad you're here with us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better. Thanks for being here.
I heard a story that I heard years ago, and it always makes me laugh. But a pastor was invited to a young couple's home for dinner. And he goes in there, and they had a great time. And when the pastor leaves, the wife looks at the husband. She said, "We're missing a spoon. I think the pastor stole one of our spoons." This husband's like, no. And it just bothers her. Now, every time she comes to church, she just thinking about, she can't even hear him preach. He stole a spoon. I can't believe he stole a spoon. And she labors over this thing. She carries it for months and months. Finally, a year later, she says, "Let's invite him back again." "Well, I don't want to lose any more spoons, but let's bring him back." So the husband said, "Look, you got to deal with this. This is wrong for you to carry this. Just ask him." So they have dinner, and she said, "Pastor, I just got to ask you, when you came here last year, did you steal one of our spoons?" He said, "No, I put it in your Bible." Yeah, this is a test, only a test. How about that? Anyway, today we're talking about our theme this month is Run to Win. Today I call it Run to Glorify One. Run to Glorify One. We've been talking about our core values. You can put those six values up there if you would. If you would, say these with me out loud. Let's read them together. These are our core values. Are you ready? Connection. Say it out loud. Prayer. Spiritual growth. Reaching others. Faith life. And impact in the nations. We have 12 core values. We've given you the first six. They're right there in a nutshell. We have two additional highlights we've been talking about this month. One is we showed you the highway of truth. One of the things we stand for as a church is balance, but not balance in compromise, balance in the truth. For every truth, every principle, every kingdom principle, there is a highway of truth. But there's people in the ditches of extremism on either side that just react to each other. And what they're trying to do, those voices are trying to do, is to get us pulled off the highway into one of the ditches. Don't go that way. Stay on the highway. You're going to run and run to win. You got to stay in your lane. You got to stay on the road. Don't go off-roading when you have a highway of truth. Say amen. And finally, last week, we talked about cultivating wins. We said, let's cultivate wins by celebrating wins. We're creating a culture, and right now we're working on a way that you could share a quick paragraph if you meet somebody and they share something God's done in their life that goes with our core values or something going on in the church. Please, we're going to have a way where you can text that in. We're working on that. We don't have all the bugs worked out yet, but the team is working very hard to get a way where all of you can pass things up. I would say this week, if you have something, just email it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nowchurch.com so we can know kind of people you're meeting. We don't even need to know names on these testimonies. We just want to share, if you see somebody that got impacted by our challenge to reach others, and they're still, wow, I just feel out in my life, and something, God is doing something, and I feel a call to just really help reach other people with the gospel of Jesus. That's a win to celebrate. Please share your wins. Say another amen.
Amen.
And now as we move forward today, I'm going to give you three more. The greatest motivation to keep on running is to do it for a good cause. I remember one time when I was a kid, I think it was in middle school, and we did a walk-a-thon for muscular dystrophy or March of Dimes or one of those charities, and we walked 20 miles around. 20 miles! I was in like seventh grade. But you got people to sponsor you so much per mile, and then you collected the money and you gave it to the charity. Well, you know, walk-a-thons, fundraisers for curing diseases, golf tournaments, you're more successful when you're raising money for a noble purpose. And noble purpose is great. You have to have a cause. But the greatest cause for a believer is to glorify God by shining your spotlight on Jesus. In other words, that you would share the credit. A lot of people, when they're praying, "Lord, I need you. Gimme. My name is Jimmy. And then they get it. And then all of a sudden, they go, "Look what I did. Hey, I got it. I got it. No, you didn't get it. You asked God and he got it. But you got to give, you got to share the credit. Some people, listen, God won't share his glory with anybody. He'll share everything else. He'll share, he'll meet your needs, but he wants the glory. He simply wants the credit. You share it and glorify God, shine your light on him. But here's the principle. Psalm 50 verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, God says. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So watch the succession there. Call upon him when you're in trouble. He will deliver you, but then you have to put the spotlight on him. He gets the glory. He alone gets the glory. You can, listen, every week just about when I pull away from here, I say, Lord, I give you all the praises of people and all the good things they said to me wasn't about me, it's about you. And I give you all the insults and horrible things people said when they left today about me, and I cast them upon you. And today I just go, then I go home and I eat my dinner and I'm good. I'm good. But you can never forget, it's not about you. It's about one. Everybody say glorify one. Glorify. That's right. Today we're going to look at three more of our core values that unleash our joy. I like the word unleash there. Number seven is honor. I'm not taking too much time of this today because we're doing a whole big in-depth teaching in our theme in September is all about honor. It's called Badge of Honor. We're going to talk about honor, and we're going to have a wonderful guest speaker come in, and we got a lot of good stuff happening for September. So I'm not going to talk about this, but I will say, I've been saying for quite a while, we live in an honor-deficient generation that doesn't know even just basic honor, honoring God, just honoring God, just living a life of honor and honoring God. We attract what we celebrate, we said last week. Passion and loyalty to the Lord and his work is important. Life works best when God is first. Here's what we say around here. Honor up, honor down, honor all around. Honor up, honor the king. The Bible says honor the king. Honor those who are worthy of honor. Honor, give honor up, give honor down, give honor down. Everybody deserves self-respect. Everybody deserves just basic, simple respect, common courtesy and kindness. I don't care if it's somebody from the top side of town or somebody that's living on the street. They deserve human respect because every life was created in God's image and we respect life, okay? Just simple respect. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. my wife has such a generous heart. She's generous to a fault. Back when we were studying ministry, anytime we'd get an extra 50 cents, I'd say, what dollar I gave you? Oh, well, I sowed that. Of course, you know, in the 80s, a dollar was worth a dollar. But anyway, today it's worth about 30 cents. But anyway, the reality is, so yesterday she goes to Publix and she's in the line and she said, this homeless man came behind me and she said, you could tell he's buying ramen soup. The crunch is still crunchy. And he's buying it and he's counting out change. And my wife just leans up to the cashier and she said, just put it on my bill. So she leaves. She said she looked at the bill. It's like 41 cents for ramen soup. And I said, honey, you're so good that way. Because back when we didn't have 41 cents, she would have still done the same thing. You know, I would have thought about something, but she thinks about it first. I think about it later. You know, if I see a cop at Chipotle, usually I try to go up and just buy their lunch. But people, even homeless people, deserve respect. They don't necessarily. I'm not even in agreement. You have to stop every time and give them something. I'm just saying this guy was. He's obviously not buying booze or something else. He's trying to buy ramen soup. We don't even know where he's going to get hot water. But can you be the answer to somebody at some point just in simple human respect and kindness? Amen. Everybody say honor up, honor down, honor all around. That's what we believe about honor. We'll talk more about it next month. Number eight, we're going to really drill down in this today. This is one of our core values from the get-go. From the very first day we started the church, May 1st, 1990. So I know some of you weren't born yet. That's okay. We're glad you're catching up. But May 1st, 1990, we started the church, and this was one of our core values: worship and praise. Part of our original vision was to prepare an atmosphere where God can move in his power and dominion in any way, in any moment, just even like we sang a few moments ago in that song, In Our Midst, that God can move, that we want to engage with him and interact with him. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. The word inhabits means he literally comes in our praise when we gather together and we're in worshiping and praising God, that the presence of Jesus comes in and sits down, is enthroned in the midst of us, and he takes a seat in the midst of his people and reigns. He is Lord over cancer. He is Lord over sickness. He is Lord over marriage problems, and he is Lord over issues. He is Lord over family drama. He's Lord, and in that moment when he sits down in our midst, the Lordship of Christ is in the room. And everything has to bow in that presence to our King. Can you say amen? Isaiah 42 describes this action and reaction of engaging with God and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Isaiah 42 verse 10 says this: sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. Skip down to verse 12. Let them, the people of God, give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. And verse 13 says what will happen. And the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Remember in the triumphal entry we call Palm Sunday, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and for the first time in his 3.5 year earthly ministry, people are recognizing who he is. They're waving palm branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're worshiping Jesus on this whole process, and he gets into town, into Jerusalem. He gets off the donkey he's on, and he's a different, he just seems different. Usually we see him walking. He now goes in with pace, and he starts turning over tables in the temple. He starts activating, but why? Because the Bible says, the zeal for your house has stirred me up. When I'm worshiped, when I'm praised. Jesus is stirred, and his zeal, the jealousy he has for his house to be holy and to be a house of prayer, it comes alive, and he's there, and he starts cleaning the house. He starts purging the house and saying, let's get back to the purpose of the house. And he's not happy in this moment. We think Jesus is wimpy. He's not wimpy. At this moment, he's turning over tables. He's never wimpy, but in this moment, he has a purpose, and he's saying, you better get it together, church. And he said, don't you recognize when the Pharisees start saying, what's this? What's this? What's he doing? He said, don't you realize if you didn't praise me, that the very rocks will cry out? Don't you know that it's written in Psalm chapter 8, verse 2, that out of the mouths of babes and infants, he's ordained praise to silence the enemy and still the avenger? Your praise stops the enemy in his tracks. But you got to praise. What I talked about last week about faith life, you got to mix it with your worship and your praise. You can't wait for your breakthrough so you feel like praising. You got to praise God in advance. You got to thank him in advance. Quit begging your prayers and start asking in faith and then praising him for the answer. What you have to understand is there's a breakthrough in your praise. A few weeks ago, I was driving down the road. I got this thought. These two words in my spirit, never thought of it before. And I felt like the Lord said, combustible worship. I said, combustible worship? What the heck is combustible worship? And I was reminded, you know, some people, how many like cars? How many like car engines? How many like car engines? You just get in there and tinker with it and stuff. Yeah, that's so good. I've never opened the hood on my car for anything. I know where the gas tank is. That's about it. Anyway, I love nice cars, but I don't I don't know how they work. Okay, that's just not my thing. I speak. Anyway, so as I started thinking about combustion, I started thinking about engines. I started thinking back in the day. Anybody still have a physical key that you put into the slot to turn the car on? Anybody have a physical key? How many have push button? Okay, more push buttons these days. That's what I figured. But whatever it is, you used to put that key into what? Ignition. What's the root word of ignition? Ignite. What does ignite mean? It means to start a fire. Basically, when you hit that thing, I understand there's something in the car called a spark plug. Anyway, and the spark is a little, it's a little explosive fire that hits and it lights up into a cylinder of some sort. Probably, I know all you guys, is it a piston? I don't know what it is. Is it a Detroit piston? I know them. But anyway, but this cylinder fires up. And if you got a 4-cylinder, 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder, it's this spontaneous combustion that starts exploding from cylinder to cylinder to fire that whole car up. Then you can move forward. Combustible worship is this, that people are depending on your fire to fire up their fire. That people are waiting. See, a lot of people come in, and if you're here for the first time and you've never been in a church of praise and worship, maybe you've been in a place where there's hymns and stuff, that's fine. I understand the first couple times if you're coming in. First time I went into a worship service where people are jumping and shouting and praising God, it freaked me out too. It freaked me out. In fact, 40 years ago this year, 1986, I walked into a Spirit-filled church in Orlando because I didn't want to go to one in Ocala. I was trying to sneak out of town. I didn't want anybody to see me. We go in this church, and there's this, the atmosphere is like wild. In fact, a guy is up on the platform. He's playing I would call it a violin, but he was playing it like a fiddle. I know it's the same thing, but it's a different way. And they're going to town, and they're praising God. And people are jumping and praising and clapping. And I stood there in my Presbyterianism, and I just kind of, and my family got very nervous. My son was the most Presbyterian of the four of us, and he kind of said, "Can we leave now?" And I said, and he kind of sat down and said, "No, we're on the back row. I feel for you back row people, because I've been there." And all of a sudden, just when I'm thinking, I said, "Okay, it'll be over soon. It'll be over soon." All of a sudden, this lady, you know, how some people that you just know they have money by the way they dress. This lady was like dressed to the nines. She looked like a banker at one of the. This is in Orlando, so she looked. I thought she must work at one of the big buildings downtown in a bank. She looked very stately, and she walks in, and she stands next to us at the end of our row. I thought, okay, this lady will be more calm. And all of a sudden, she sets her Bible down. And next thing you know, she grabs a tambourine, and she and my son, that boy, he said, "Can we go now?" So I understand it's a different kind of take on stuff if you haven't been around this. But let me say this. If you've been here for more than the 3-week challenge and you're still standing here with your mouth closed and watching everybody else or looking around or you're in your head thinking about pizza, you're not engaging your spirit in the pursuit of truth, which is worship. Worship is engaging your spirit, man, in the pursuit of the presence of God. And if you're not engaging, then you're just all in your head. And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that in the sense of I feel bad for you because what's happening is you're blocked up. You don't realize that you're dammed up. The Bible says rivers of living water are supposed to flow out of your innermost being. In worship, the river starts to flow and comes out of the mouth. Every river has a mouth. That's where it comes out. The difference between a swamp and a river is flow. And if you can come in, if you can at least, we put the words on the screen so you can at least open your mouth and sing the words or say the words and not just stand there like a bump on a log. If you're doing that, you're not helping yourself because you're not engaging. We're activating. So I'm not trying to out anybody here. I don't look at you and judge you. I get you. I understand you. But here's the very people that need the breakthrough the most are the ones that stand there and look around and act like they can't enter in. They can't enter in. And I just want to hug you. I just want to hold you. I'm not trying to scold you. I just want to hold you and say, hey, I don't know who, you know, kicked your family cat when you were little or stole your lollipop or if your parents didn't hug you enough. I'm just telling you that love flows. Love flows in the room, in combustible worship. Praise explodes and circulates. It grows, expands, and escalates. This is what the Lord gave me, like tossing a Holy Ghost grenade of love and power into the room. Pulling the pin, and it blows up. And when it blows up in the middle of the room, it just overflows and comes out everywhere else. Praise is supposed to explode. Salvation, healing, deliverance, breakthrough. Other people are depending on your cylinder to fire up to ignite their cylinder. And it happens. It's supposed to happen in the gathering of praisers. Moses goes to the mountain when the Amalekites attack, and it looks like certain doom and death and defeat for the children of Israel. And Moses goes to the mountain, and what does he do? He lifts up his hands. And while his hands are lifted, Joshua and the children of Israel and the army are winning the battle in the valley. But his two assistants notice that he gets tired, and as soon as his arms come down, they're losing. Quite badly, they're losing people. The assistants say, we got to prop his arms up in that worship position, that praise position. Because as long as he's praising, we're winning. My friends, the praise of faith is we're winning because we're praising him. Now, we're not trying to manipulate him. We're not praising him to get to manipulate. We're praising him because he is worthy. We're not praising our praise and worshiping our worship. We're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're worshiping Jesus, who paid every price for your sin and my sin to give us the victory in the first place. Think of Paul and Silas. They're thrown into prison in Philippi, and they're beaten, and they're threatened, and they go to the lowest part of the dungeon. The Bible says this: at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises to God. They didn't just sing, you know, just some little thing. They sang praises to God loud enough, the Bible says, for everybody in the jail to hear them. And all of a sudden, in the spirit realm, this earthquake hits. And listen, the Bible says every chain of every prisoner was loosed, and every prison door, every cell door flew open. Every chain broken, every cell open. Why? Because two guys said, Jesus is here. He's with us. He's not abandoning us. They're not trying to manipulate. They don't even know there's going to be an earthquake. They're praising Jesus because he's that real to them. He's alive. He's mighty. And they worship him. And in that atmosphere, the angels of God come. There's an earthquake and people are set free. My friends, combustible worship is part of our calling as the people of God. You and I were born to worship and praise God. We were designed to connect to and to adore him, to engage with our Heavenly Father, to be with him. Anybody like classic rock? Anybody like classic rock? Well, that's good. That's the same people that like engines. But anyway. Some of you won't raise your hand no matter what I do, so whatever. It's okay. So Pastor Chris sent me a testimony. So have you ever seen some of these I Am Second? They're testimonies of like famous people that got saved. So this guy, Jonathan Cain, is the keyboard player for Journey, the group Journey. And he gave his testimony recently, he basically says this. He left Chicago to pursue this dream, but his dad was a man of prayer. His dad and he were super close. His dad was a man of prayer. He said to his dad when he was a little boy, I want to be like you. I want to pray like you. And his dad said, you got to find your own relationship with Jesus, son. And so, but there's this tragedy hit in their town, and it made Jonathan as a little boy kind of like mad at God. Why didn't you save those people? Why did that fire happen? Why did this tragedy happen? And he shut down. And then he gets trained in music. He goes to California to get famous. joins a rock group called The Babies, which was awesome. Another one, Bad English. Then he finally connects with Steve Perry and these guys and joins Journey. Well, he's about to quit music before he joined Journey. He's about to quit and come home to Chicago just get a job. And he called his dad, and his dad said, "Son, God's hand is on your life for great things. What you've had now is not, that's not it. But you hang in there. I'm telling you, don't stop believing." It's literally what he said. So he is that super close. So now he hangs out there. Now, 5 years go by. He's sitting in this room trying to write songs with Steve Perry. And Steve Perry, they couldn't find the sound. They couldn't find a song. And he goes, "Look at your lyric book." So he opens his lyric book and he says, "Look for something." And he said, "Well, my dad gave me this a few years ago." He said, "Don't stop believing." And they wrote, "Just a Small Town Boy." And they wrote the whole song. And that became the song that propelled them to enter into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2017. But more than that, when his dad passed away years ago, he was so broken. And he had this moment where he came back to Christ. And he said, as he's there, he said, the Lord starts speaking to him. He said when he would write songs, he would always think of his dad and the whole "don't stop believing" thing. And he would always think about my dad when I'm writing lyrics and writing songs. And he said, "I'm there," and he said, "I'm by myself." He said, "The Lord speaks to my heart and said, 'Son, you weren't writing for him, you were writing for me.'" So what do you mean? And all of a sudden, the Lord starts speaking back to him the words from a song called "Open Arms." "So now I come to you with open arms, nothing to hide. Believe what I say. So here I am with open arms," watch this, "hoping you'll see what your love means to me, open arms." He said, "God, that was to you? My spirit, my heart was crying out to you?" He said, "That's right, son." He wrote, "Faithfully, I'm forever yours, faithfully." Many of the hits of Journey that you probably, if you know them, you love them. Today, Jonathan Cain is married to Paula White and leads worship in a church. And then during the week, he's out traveling and singing Journey songs and doing Journey. Today, he glorifies God on the stage wherever he is, because he recognized that he was born to worship God and not just to sing songs. And he saw the purpose in it. Isn't that awesome? It's a great story. C.S. Lewis, the great writer from the 20th century, wrote many great books, but one of his books was called A Reflection on the Psalms. I'm going to show you a few little quotes from it. He said, quote, "The most obvious fact about praise strangely escaped me. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. The world rings with praise. People walking around praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare books, even sometimes politicians and scholars. He said, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment." Listen to that. It's appointed consummation. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it's expressed. In other words, worship is the consummation of joy. Our joy is not complete until it is expressed in worship. My friends, worship must be expressed to crown our joy. You don't get an overflow of anything until you cap it off with, "Hey, this is awesome. Oh, God, I worship you. I delight myself in you. I adore you. I can't believe how much you love me. I can't believe how you've taken care of me. I give you all the praise." In that moment, and only that moment, we find the consummation and fulfillment of joy. Joy expressed is unfulfilled. My friends, if we're not shifting the atmosphere in this church, in a service, opening the spiritual arena and the atmosphere so the word can come forth and people's lives can be changed, chains broken, burdens lifted, harnesses of limitation destroyed. We might as well sing Kumbaya and go home. And this has been our philosophy since day one. And believe me, in the beginning days, we put up with a lot of persecution for it. Because we were one of the only churches in 1990 that was doing praise and worship and not hymns out of a hymnal. And I got no problem with the hymns. I wish everybody would know all the old hymns as well. It's a great foundation. But I love the fact that in this place, we're always adding a new song to the Lord. Sing to him a new song. Praise him. Praise him. All you people, praise him. Number 9 and last, I'll let you go for today. One of our core values is serving others. And we say with that, served people serve people. Served people serve people. In other words, if you belong to Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus has washed your feet. He has already washed your feet. You can't belong to him unless he has cleaned your walk. What is foot washing? It's not literal, it's figurative. It's where your feet are the place where your body touches the dirty earth. No matter how clean your floors are, if you walk around barefoot all the time, you're going to get black marks on it. Why? Because our feet just, they touch the earth and they get stained, polluted. But Jesus said, let me wash your feet. But when you've been served and you recognize you've been served, you've got to have an attitude to serve others. Serve as unto the Lord. The Puritan work ethic is that work is part of worship. It's an extension. That's why I put these three here together today. Honor, worship and praise, and serving others. The Bible talks a lot about body life, the concept that individually we can only be one part of the body of Christ, which makes us interconnected and interdependent with the other parts. 1 Corinthians 12 is a chapter in the Bible that Paul writes all about the spiritual gifts, the manifested spiritual gifts, where he talks about supernatural gifts and things that happen when we come together, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of power, you know, all these different things that take place, healings, miracles, all these things can take place in the gathering together of the saints. Why? But right in the midst of...
Hello, hello. There we go. Isn't that like the enemy to try to, right when we're hitting... About to finish up. I just hate that. Right in the midst of talking about spiritual gifts, Paul the Apostle kind of makes this little turn. And he says in 1 Corinthians 12:14 from the Message, now I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant and not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. My friends, we're all called to utilize our various spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities faithfully within the church life and outside to the world around us both. We're called to serve. The word ministry is the word service. It's simply serving. It's simply what I do is use my gifts to help serve you and serve God by serving you. And what you do is should be serving each other. It shouldn't be just coming in. Once you join and connect in the church, here we are on a membership Sunday. We had 6 new people come and join the church. That's great. Don't just come in and watch. Come in and find your spot where you're gifted, where you're talented, where you have abilities, and plug into that place. That's what we need. Maybe you've come to Now Church with a zero church background, questioning whether you could even possibly fit in. I'm telling you, that's okay. Can you smile? Can you be kind to people? We need greeters and ushers all the time. Listen, our ushers ush all the time, and they protect the anointing. That's what the ushers do. We need that. It's so valuable. Or maybe you've come in from another church where you got so involved and you went through some stuff and now you need a short break to get fed the word and filled up with the Holy Spirit afresh. That's okay too. But don't use that as an excuse to keep people at arm's length forever. That's a minute. That's a time. That's come in, sit, soak, get refreshed, and then find your place again. Because we are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouthpiece. We are his ears. We are his heart for a hurting world. We all need you to find your place and serve there. We all need it. Love like Jesus, serve like Jesus. Don't leave the body limping along. If you see, if the church is limping along some Sunday, it may not be my fault. It may be because you're not in your position being the joint that supplies to that leg and gives you the stability you need, that the body needs to walk along. Find your place. Don't just sit in the soak. Don't just come in and take. Be a part of what God is trying to do. You know, don't sit down too long because you're tired. Can I just tell you, can I give you a quick clue? Everybody's tired. The whole world is tired right now. People that don't do doodly squat and sit in an easy chair all day long are tired right now. But they use it as an excuse not to go anywhere, not go to church, not to engage, not to honor God, not to serve anywhere. You want a cure for tiredness? How many would like some more energy than you have right now? Good. All the people that like cars and no journey. Jeez. Here's the key, and I'll let you go. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those who are planted where? In the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Watch this, verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. You want more energy? Let me tell you something. Right now, at my stage of life, every time I turn on social media, I get all these ads for anti-aging stuff. Every day. Anti-aging. Can I give you God's anti-aging plan? Plug in, plant, serve. Plug in, plant, serve. Why? Because the promise is, when you do that, you get all the nutrients and vitamins and stuff you need in your body to help supply to everybody else's body. Your engine starts firing, so their engine starts firing, and now you stay younger, and now people go, hey, how you staying so young, you old goat? I got the answer. He renews my youth like the eagles, because I planted my life 43 years ago, 46 years ago, gave my life to him, but 43 years ago, I got connected to a house. And 36 years ago, we started this one. And his supply keeps coming through. Let's run to glorify one. Shine your light on Jesus. The whole church is empowered to run to win when you find your spot. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the promises of your word. Lord, I pray for your body. I pray for people today. I thank you, Lord, in advance for the children's workers that you're raising up here. I thank you, Lord, for the new people in music and creative arts and the band, for new musicians. I thank you, Lord, for more people plugging in as ushers and greeters. And I thank you for more people coming in as baristas, working at the cafe, and all the various parts of your body. Lord, we just call forth the people. Thank you for the tech crew. Lord, the tech crew does such a great job. And we just thank you, Lord, for more technicians coming in that have a heart for your sound and your screens and your video and your television, your live stream, all those things. God, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for this house. We ask you to let your word come forth here to change lives, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to let dead things come alive again. In Jesus' name. Just with your head bowed, your eyes closed, just for a moment, those of you at home as well. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I don't have a fire in me. Invite Jesus in and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up. Surrender today. Come to Jesus and open your heart and ask him to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. And when you'll do that, if you'll mean that, you'll get some of the energy you're looking for. Lord, I ask you to break people through who are blocked, who find it hard to express love and affection, whether to God or even to their spouse, their family. We rebuke that blockage today in the name of Jesus. We know it's demonic. We break that blockage and we command it to go. And we release the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody just say this. Just say, Jesus, come fill my life again. Fill me afresh. Holy Spirit, come in. I give you my heart. I give you everything that I've got. Let my life become a Holy Ghost grenade into every place that I go. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you get that today? Come on and give the Lord a shout of praise.
We're so glad you joined us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better, view our calendar, and experience our online campus live or on demand. Thanks again, and see you soon.